In today's show, we're recapping Thursday's action. We've got updates on injuries in Portland. We've got updates on injuries in Charlotte. We've got the games from Thursday. We've got waiver wire stuff. And we've got Mr. Michael Bolton.
Thanks, Josh. It's Michael Bolton here, and it's time for another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Bball, on TikTok at @RedRock_Bball, and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Thank you for making Locked On Fantasy Basketball your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. I hope in your head-to-head league you are finished, and I hope you're still watching. I hope that if your league is still going, you are learning a lesson. I hope you are learning this lesson and you will apply this lesson next season. It is going to get worse from here. I am telling you now, it is going. And when I make these recommendations of finish your league on the 19th of March, I don't do it because I want people not to listen to my show for the last 3 weeks of the season. That's contrary to my benefit. I do it because I know what it does for fantasy. And people will argue with me all the time on it. Majority, people start to come around eventually, but there will be people who stick, no, we've got to play it out. It's more skill if you do it this way. It's garbage. Do not play fantasy at this point of the year. Roto, fair enough. But even then, I don't even know if that's worth it. But you probably do want to play Roto through to the end. But head-to-head leagues, you just don't. You just don't do it. You don't play this time of the year. You don't play the final 3 weeks of the season. It's akin to playing week 18 in NFL fantasy. And no one here would find that interesting, that no one here would do that. But in NBA, they'll have those debates. It's the same as like people bitch and moan about load management in the NBA, but don't blink a single eyelid when a major league pitcher only pitches once every five games. Why? Oh, health. Never bitches and moans about that. Or maybe they did back in the day. It's just become so people are just used to it now. They understand that it's the right thing to do. Anyway, that's beside the point. We've got lots to talk about in today's show. Warnie.
Let's get it on, Gilly.
All right, let's look at Portland. And you would be amazed to know how shocked, absolutely stunned, fell over when I found out the news. I could not believe it that Anthony Simons and Jeremy Grant are listed out for their next. I can't believe it. Unbelievable stuff to see that they're out again. They're going to keep being out for the rest of the season. Unbelievable they're out on Friday. Just amazing. I addressed this the other day. The chances of them playing again is infinitesimally small. Someone told me that's not a real word on the show of the day. I think you said it wrong. You meant to say infinitely. No, I didn't. I meant infinitesimally small, the chances of those guys playing again. I also said I expect Damian Lillard to not play next week. Interestingly enough, Lillard played his 58th game last time out. In order, the minimum number of games you need to play to be a part of scoring leader, stat leader, leaderboards is 58. And straight after that today, Lillard is listed on the injury report, probable calf. I believe Lillard plays the rest this week. I believe Lillard is done after this weekend. That is my estimation. Maybe he plays one game next week. He is not far off finishing for the season, is my understanding for Damian Lillard. So there's that. And then the other one that we thought would shut down, and then last game, I thought, what am I talking about here? Nurkic played 31 minutes and Eubanks played 5. What? That's weird. What's going on there? Oh, would you look at that? Yusuf Nurkic is on the injury report. Questionable. I wonder how long he lasts. Not too long, would be my guess. Not too long. So, the Portland tank is on. It is fully on. Trenton Watford must roster. Shaedon Sharpe? Probably, yeah. Cam Reddish? Maybe, but maybe not. Drew Eubanks? I don't know. I don't know what happened last game, but there's going to be something for him coming up later on. It's going to be weird stuff going on with that team. DeAndre Ayton's out the rest of the week. That's two more games for him being out. So Bismack Biyombo, when you're looking for blocks, you might get You might get three blocks, four blocks out of him. You might get 60% shooting. You might get 15, 16 rebounds. He's not going to do anything else, but his value is there. All right, so if you need big man stats, Biombo's an option for you now. Ayton's out at least the next two games. I talked about this yesterday as well, saying I don't always know how to verbalize this, but pattern recognition when you've been following the game and recording podcasts, and this is your probably 4,000th show on fantasy basketball, you see things. And when teams and players go out of their way to tell you about an injury, and say, it's probably going to be pretty sore tomorrow. Can't wait. I guess we'll find out how sore it is tomorrow, that hand, eh? Yeah, x-rays are negative, but man, I reckon he's going to be pretty sore. Bloody hell, that's going to be bad, man. Bloody, jeez, that hand, man. I reckon it might be sore. They say that for a reason. There's a very big reason behind it. It's because they're sitting him out. So Larry Markkanen out because of the hand. I do not know, though, that this means that he's out for the rest of the season. But I do know that now I've now used a sore back and a sore hand in the last week to sit him games. And they will continue to do that, like they'll continue to do that with Jordan Clarkson and his busted up finger. They will find a way for Oshae Agbaji to play 30-plus minutes every single night for the rest of the way. Markkanen might come in and out. Clarkson might come in and out. Olynyk might come in and out. This will happen the rest of the way. I am very confident. No one's told me this. No one has told me anything about this, unlike the Portland one. No one's told me anything about this with Utah, but that is how I'm viewing that situation. The Spurs, they've been dicking us over for months. So I don't even know what to make of their injury report anymore. Sochan's out. Cool. Langford's out. Birch is out. Vassell's questionable for rest on a game that's not a back-to-back. Zach Collins is questionable with a fake bicep injury. Graham is probable. Keldon's probable. I don't know. I don't know that you can actually... as much as I love Vassell and Zach Collins, I'm not sure you can actually hold them. You probably... If you do have them, you hold them for this Friday game. But if they're out, you drop them. Same as Sochan. He's ruled out. You drop him. Trey Jones is probable. You re-add him. If Keldon was dropped, you re-add him. But I think they're going to sit every second game. And then the blokes who probably end up having value are Mamukelashvili and Bates Diop. But Branham and Wesley aren't going to have consistent value because they're not consistently good. It's going to be a frustrating situation without a shadow of a doubt. There was an update on LeBron James. That he would maybe be back for the last 3 to 4 games of the regular season. I'm still getting people literally every day, hey, do I drop LeBron James? Yes. Yes, you do. You dropped him weeks ago. As soon as he broke that record, that was it for him. And then he played 2 games after it. Again, saw that one coming a mile away. Although he did have an injury, an actual legitimate injury. But yeah, this is a serious injury for LeBron. He's had injuries all season. Yes, you drop him. He might come back then, but you don't hold him. It's just taking up space. And that's done. And this doesn't even get me started on what went down in Charlotte. In Charlotte or was it in New Orleans? Where was the game played today? It was in... I'll get to that in a second because I can't find it. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We'll get to that in a sec. But the other stuff for tomorrow. Bradley Beal out with knee soreness. I said yesterday that I reckon that the Wizards might be just accelerating towards the tank. Kuzma out, Beal out with nowhere. 22 minutes for Porzingis. Yes, foul trouble, sure. He absolutely could have come back in. I am a little worried there for them. So Avdija Kispert, big bumps up in their value. Bogdanovic and Burks for the Pistons. They're not playing again. They won't tell us that, though. Mark Williams isn't playing again for Charlotte. They won't tell us that. I reckon Jayson Tate might be done in Houston. He's out again with his ankle soreness. I think he's cooked for the season. What else? What other nonsense is going on? That's probably all the nonsense that we need to know for tomorrow's game. But there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it going on. Oh, the game was in New Orleans. There you go. Finally saw that. And that will bring us into talking about waiver wire stuff. We'll get there in a second. But today's episode and today's on this week's most electric player of the week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. Player of the week, we're going to go with Big Chungus. Nikola Jokic, over the last week, he's played 3 games. He's averaging 26, 13, and 8. He's shooting 70% from the field. He hasn't missed a free throw. He's shooting, what's he shooting from 3? 38% from 3, 76% from 2. This is a bloke who's in the running. I don't know if he's going to win it, to win his third MVP, and he does it with power. He powers through blokes, but he's also elegant in the way he does things. He's smart. He's intelligent. And that's exactly what the 2023 Nissan Ariya is. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at nissanusa.com. Okay, that is cool stuff. Let's look at the waiver wire. Most added players over the last 24 hours. Now, I will give you advance notice here. I am not certain that I will be doing the full recap for the Clippers and Thunder game. I'm not certain. I've got something I need to do tonight that's pretty time sensitive, and I hope that that game gets done, but it's one of those later start games. Instead of the 7 p.m. Pacific, it's a 7:30 p.m. Pacific game, which makes it a little bit tighter, so I'm not sure I'll analyze that full game. If you're a Basketball Monster member, I will analyze it fully over there. I'm not sure that I'll get it done on this show, so be aware of that. But the number one added player was Terrence Mann. Now, he is not going to start. Eric Gordon is going to start the rest of the season. But as I said the other day with Gordon, he was already playing 28, 29 minutes a night, so there is somewhat of a bump. There's a usage bump. There's a few minutes bump. But Mann probably goes from 18 minutes to 28 minutes, which is significant. A lot of people added him. I'm not sure he's going to be great. He's fine to play today, Thursday, four games on. Great. We love that. We see what we can get out of him. And I think him and Gordon will end up being fringy 12-team league blokes. Nick Richards up 21%. I have no idea why he was available in that many leagues to grab. Yes, there's a three-game in four nights, but he should have been added as soon as that two-game week ticked over last week. Re-added anyway. Mark Williams isn't coming back, in my mind. Trenton Watford up 16%. Every league needs to grab him. I think he's going to put up great numbers the rest of the way here. Royce O'Neal up 16%. That was to take advantage of the excellent Nets schedule. He started off with a pretty good game today. Isaiah Joe up 15%, the back-to-back here, three games in four nights. They've got a strong schedule coming up as well. I think they had five games in seven nights starting today. That makes sense to add him for points and threes. Cole Anthony up 10, yeah, with no Jalen Suggs, and then they lost Franz Wagner today. That's going to pay some dividends, I think. Gordon Hayward up 6%. I was shocked to see Gordon Hayward, one of the most added players. Was he actually dropped in that many spots? Apparently so. And they got three games in four nights, and I would suggest there is zero chance he plays in both of the next games. I don't know that for certain, but it is a back-to-back. And if there is no shoulder soreness appearing on the injury report for Hayward tomorrow, I will be staggered. I don't know what I'll do. I'll do something, but there is no way. No, it's no way. We'll find out anyway. Denny Avdija up 6%. Yeah, Beal might be cooked. So I think Avdija's value jumps with Kuzma a little bit, but it really jumps. I think if you look at the numbers, games with Beal, games without Beal, you'll see the difference there. That's one of the biggest differentiators for Avdija's performance. So we get some good stuff going there, maybe, hopefully. Most dropped players. The cashier, Xavier Tillman, down 15%. Yeah, they're just going away from him, so see you later to him. In fact, I'm just going to blanket jack all of these guys.
Get that garbage out of here!
Blanket jack, sounds like a sleepover game. Kyle Anderson, down 11%. He still played 35 minutes, but I get it. They only got one more game this week. Towns is back at high minutes. And if Edwards plays next game, Anderson's going to lose tons. Because again, you've got to play the 240 game. And that, much like talking about Will Hardy and Lauri Markkanen and saying, pay attention to the things they're saying. Pay attention to what Karl Anthony Towns and Chris Finch are saying in regards to Naz Reid, the Wizard of Noz. They just keep saying it. We've got to play this guy. We've got to play this guy. His minutes aren't going anywhere. We've got to play him. Hey, two centers. We've got to play him. Someone has to lose out. Now, are they going to go and play power forwards at shooting guard like they did all of last game? Maybe. But Edwards coming into the mix there complicates things. And while Anderson's been great, at the start of the year when Towns was healthy, Anderson was useless. So I don't mind the drop. I probably would have liked to hold, but I get it. Pat Beverly down 10%. Well, maybe a little bit premature considering DeRozan and Caruso are both questionable. Probably would have held that one. Branham down 8%. Yeah, can't trust him even when he plays. Aaron Nesmith down 8%. Yeah, he's only a streamer when the schedule makes sense. Tyus Jones down 7. Yep, okay. Jar's back. Don't know if he's going to start, but doesn't matter. If you need to get more games in, do that. Hardaway down 6. Yes, absolutely. And then Malik Monk down 5. No idea what you're going to get from Monk. The fact that Herder's been out hasn't helped him. They do have a back-to-back coming up, so I might have been interested in holding for the Friday, Saturday back-to-back for Monk, but the production's been so piss poor that I do get it if you dropped him through frustration. It would have been nice to get someone in for the low volume Thursday rather than a high volume Friday when it might not have made any sense. So that makes a little bit more sense in terms of dropping Malik Monk through that scenario. We better get into these games, I reckon. Three of them. First one. Oh, yeah. Your boys, the Orlando Magic. They do it. They knock off the New York Knickerbockers. What a win. Don't know what it means for them, but yeah, there we go. 111-106 for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson sort of out of nowhere, hand injury. That's it for the Knicks. They're done for this week. So if this is your final week, they're dropped, every one of them. If you're in a semi-final, a lot of the fringe guys can go. Brunson and Randle are the two guys that I wouldn't go. Everyone else, see you later. It's three zeros. And you can do more. If you, now again, caveats, Roto League, different story. Head-to-head league where you're going to win comfortably, hold, right? You hold the guys. But otherwise, you've got to make tough calls. Don't add Quentin Grimes.
This briefcase and this haircut.
This was very weird. 38 minutes, 25 points, back-to-back 20-point games, 5 threes, 6 assists, 3 steals. And actually astonishingly good game. I don't trust it for a single second when Brunson's back. And he doesn't play for 3 days, so I don't care. Emmanuel quickly went from under 20 minutes to playing 42. 25, 5 and 7, 2 steals and a block. I wonder if his Sixth Man of the Year campaign will kick off as he puts up another big game as a starter. That's great. No games rest of the week. See you later. Mitchy Robinson. Sore knee. Back to back. Let's play more minutes than you have in the last 2 weeks. That makes sense. 31 minutes, 2 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. Pretty good game. Drop him. Hartenstein, 6-4 and 3 with 2 blocks. Thank you for your service, my guy. Thank you for 3 games in 4 nights of okay production, which the value is in the volume now. We see you later. Randall had 23, 9 and 4, and he really Randled us in the last game for the week. He had 2 blocks, so that's, as our friend Chief Palpatine would say,
a surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
It is, but then he went 35% from the field on 20 attempts and 7 of 10 from the line, and that is whatever the opposite of a surprise to be sure is, because that's what he does. Probably the worst game from Josh Hart as a member of the Knicks, 7-5 and 2, 29 minutes, no problem dropping him. Same with Rowan Barrett, who had put up a couple of good games, but as I have said with Rowan Barrett many, many times, I need to see you do this for 50-plus games, because I will not get sucked into 3 good ones, because then you're going to shit the bed. 29 minutes, 10, 2 and 3. No, he Sabonis his way to no threes, no steals, no blocks, went 25 from the field and 67 from the line, because this is who RJ Barrett is. No consistency with a plethora of shit ones. It's what he does. We do not trust it. I'm almost pushing it. I need to see it for a full season. I had to wait 2 years to say that Terry Rozier was a good 2-point shooter, and then I caved in, and then he turned back to bad. That's broadcasting, so we're going to talk Terry Rozier later on. Just giving you a tease of a name. For the Magic, Franz Wagner. Hurt his ankle. He started to play really well again. 16, 3, and 6, 2 steals and a block. You'd have to worry. 2 weeks left in the season. He hurt his ankle a couple of times this season. They haven't really done any sort of shutting down or anything weird at all, apart from obviously all the past handling of Jonathan Isaac's injury. So I'm not sure that that's it for him, but I wouldn't be shocked. Paolo, 21, 6, and 4. And in one of the upsets of the day, he dropped to Richie Benaud.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
And he has been putrid in that respect. So he was struggling for a big period of time, but he has started to turn it back on, which is great. Cole Anthony, 18 and 6, not a triple one. He had 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. That's not a traditional triple one. He's worth grabbing at the moment, or worth having. While Wendell struggled with the lack of peripheral, 16 and 8 is fine, but no steals, no blocks, no assists. Doesn't do that much for you. And they went to a weird lineup again. Bol Bol once again, out of the rotation. How many of you guys watching this video sold high on Bol? Hope you did earlier in the season. They went with Wagner and Badadze playing together. That's Mo Wagner. 11 and 7 for Mo in 17 minutes. That's actually pretty good. That's deeper league stuff, while Badadze did nothing in 14 minutes. I'm not suggesting that Mo Wagner is going to be a 12-team league player, but after a little spell out of the rotation, he's back. So he's at least back on our radar of someone to pay some attention to. And the other name that I gave you the other day was Caleb Houston. He played 25 minutes. That is not a particularly good line for 25 minutes, but 8 points, 2 threes, 2 blocks, and it's all about following some trends. Just pushing Bol out of the rotation, Houston's minutes, they're pushing up. And I think the other day I said, hey, if Franz Wagner happens to sit out, I wouldn't be shocked if Houston gets some starts here down the stretch. Well, guess what? Franz Wagner's injured. I'm not saying that Caleb Houston's a 12-team league guy. I don't believe that he's a guy that we add. But if I'm in a 20, if I'm in an 18, I'm starting to consider it. It's trending in that direction. It's absolutely trending in that direction for Caleb Houston. And you just got to have it on your radar. You just got to have it on your radar. Because if he does pop off for a decent game, you won't be like, ooh, that's out of nowhere. You're like, ah, this was actually brewing. And now there may be an opportunity. There might be an opportunity for that to develop into something a little bit more. Today's episode is also brought to you by Ibotta. We're always throwing money at something. Kids' school supplies, a new house project. The list goes on. It's time to stop spending your hard-earned money without getting anything in return. Enter Ibotta. You can earn cash back on every shopping trip. Ibotta gives you cash back on hundreds of grocery items, from produce to personal care to pantry goods. Either link your loyalty accounts or upload your receipt after you shop and get your cash back. It's that easy. A typical basket of groceries was almost $50 more expensive at the end of 2022 than the beginning of the year due to inflation. You can earn 2.5 times that in cash back from Ibotta, or even more, depending on how much you use Ibotta. Ibotta gives you back real cash, not points. Other apps give you points that don't amount to anything. with Ibotta. You get real cash back that you can cash out to your bank account, to your PayPal, or even get it back in gift cards. You can earn cash back on hundreds of online brands and retailers too when you start with Ibotta, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code LOCKED when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app and use the code LOCKED. That's Ibotta, I-B-O-T-T-A, in Google Play or on the App Store and use the code LOCKED. Let's do the second game. The Cavs win it on a... Imagine having a Cavs team with Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, Darius Garland, and you get done by a buzzer beater by Isaac Okoro. Isaac Okoro. 116-114, Cleveland wins it. Mobley was amazing. 40 minutes, 26-16, one steal, four blocks. He did start the season a little slowly. He's now the 15th ranked player over the last week. He's up to 55th for the season. And we talk about third-year breakouts. It is hard for him to get this gigantic usage boost given the guys he plays with. I think he might be an absolute monster next season without getting the 27 usage or so. Just 23 usage, big knock. He is just dominating. It's unbelievable. Far out. USC legend, Evan Mobley. My boy. Darius Garland, 39 minutes, 13 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. The shooting's still not there. And Mitchell struggled from the line, 6 of 9 for the Don, 31-6-1. While Okoro hit that game winner, he only had 11 points in his 30 minutes, but obviously hit the big shot that mattered. While LeVert only played 22, which is a little bit worrying, but somehow his gigantic steal rate was able to stick. Another 2 steals here. Again, I don't really have any understanding why that's happening.
Dracarys.
He's like over double his season steal rate over the last 2 weeks. He didn't kill you in percentages. He hit all his free throws. 12, 3, and 2. 2 steals, 2 threes. The minutes drop is a little worrying, but I think we're just continuing to roll with him. Amazing as that is. And Chetty Osman stayed in the rotation, but in true Chetty Osman style, he had 8 points in 22 minutes for the Nets. 42 minutes for Spencer Dinwiddie. 25, 4, and 12 with a steal. Some questionable turnovers, but that's fine. The numbers there are really strong. I am beginning to be really worried. Not worried is the wrong word. We talk about them having this great schedule, 3 quality games in the next 4 nights, one of them today. Weekend back-to-back, that's great. We saw a back-to-back from them not that long ago, and they just sat everybody. And then the guys they did play, like, played the first quarter, and that was it. That was the last time they had a back-to-back in that Bucks-Wolves one on the 9th and 10th of March, where Dinwiddie, Claxton, Johnson, and O'Neal all sat, and Finney-Smith, Harris, Curry, and Bridges played 12 minutes each. I am getting very, very worried that this Florida trip on the weekend for them might involve some of that on Sunday against the Magic. Very, very concerned. Can't do anything about it because I've got no concrete evidence to support that, but I am worried. Mikal Bridges had been struggling a little bit. I know you guys will disagree, but when you're 114th over the last week, that's not good. But he was great. 32-6, 2 triples, 58% shooting, 100 from the line. We love to see that getting back. He was a minus 14, which is weird. And Royce O'Neal is really taking the minutes away from Dorian Finney-Smith. 30 minutes for the Basmati man, 12-8, and 2 threes. That's enough to stream if he plays. I don't know what's going on with Finney-Smith. He's starting but playing bench minutes. 2 blocks, 22 minutes. I guess he missed all of his shots, maybe. He feels washed. And this happens a lot with undrafted guys or second-round guys who sort of come out of nowhere, turn themselves into good players, and the drop-off becomes extreme. It becomes extraordinarily quick. A guy I can think of like that was like a Paul Millsap. Who was a second-round guy, obviously a better player than Finney-Smith, stepped up, became this all-star guy, and then just sort of dropped off, and in a season and a half, he was basically out of the league. Finney-Smith's a different player, obviously, never as good as Millsap, but these guys will often work their way. Absolutely everything comes together. Athleticism, intelligence, everything they do, and then they lose 2% of something, and they're cooked. I think Royce O'Neal might end up being someone like that as well, who saw a little bit of a dip there, and his shooting's fallen way off. But that's not that uncommon. Cam Johnson, only 22 minutes. He's in a real funk shooting the ball. 5 points, 17% shooting. I still think we want to hold him, but not particularly good. One of the guys we looked at as a streamer was Dayron Sharpe, and I guess we get a slight check for the first game. 6-3, 2 blocks, 60% shooting, 14 minutes. Again, the value in the volume. 3 games, quality games, over 4 nights. Let's just times that by 3. 18, 9, 6 blocks on 60% shooting. It's not bad for one waiver move. It's not great, but it's not bad. Now, the worry, again, I have here that maybe he doesn't play at all in one of these games on the weekend against the Heat or against the Magic. Maybe he doesn't play. That's a distinct possibility, but he is at least worth looking at. Joe Harris had 15 points in 23 minutes. He got hot, but we obviously can't rely upon him. While other sell-high legend Cam Thomas was a DNPCD once more. The Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans. 115 New Orleans, Charlotte 96. Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist in the slightest. I shoot all this shit down continually. But something weird happened today with the Hornets, and I think you've got to talk about it. Because apparently, and I went and looked at this as well, I saw a lot of people mentioning this, that all of Terry Rozier's player props weren't available to bet on in the afternoon. They were early in the morning, and in the afternoon, they were all gone. Which is weird. We heard nothing from the team, nothing from the beat reporters. They announced the starting lineup. Terry Rozier was there, but you couldn't bet on any Terry Rozier lines. I went and had a look at it about 15 minutes before the game. Wasn't there. Everyone else's was. Right? That's weird. Right? But then he went out there. He played the first 10 minutes of the game. Okay. And then he never returned. Foot soreness. Did somebody know that he had foot soreness and he was just going out there to get a certain number of games started to qualify for contract incentives? Don't know. I don't know. And because it's the Hornets, no one will investigate or report on it or talk about it really at all. It was, again, most of these things there are very easy explanations for. This one, fishy as shit. I don't know what it is. And I'm not saying that there was like conspiracy that gambling companies, every one of them got together and told the Hornets, you've got to pull this guy after this amount of minutes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that the information came out that Rozier was injured and people knew that, but it wasn't made public. And Hornets, injury reporting, dreadful. Like, they don't provide any sort of correct. The Hornets are the kings. They're unbelievable in-game. When a player's out, they'll give you straight away. Available to return, questionable to return, straight away. They'll provide that information immediately. Anything else, not a chance. We still haven't got an update on Cody Martin. Mark Williams' thumb. What's he need thumbs for? Sticking them up your ass. You don't need it. What do we care? But as soon as something happens in game, they'll tell you. But what has happened here is I feel like Rozier, his mates, or someone around the team has known this and it's leaked out to gambling sites. That's what it feels like has happened. It's not the nefarious, the gambling sites said pull Terry Rozier out because you couldn't even bet on him. So they had no actual incentive to do that. So something weird happened. And we weren't given that information. I worry that was this just to get the start, get some games in? Is this it for him? I wouldn't be shocked. And there is almost no way he's playing tomorrow, surely. They get the back-to-back Thursday, Friday, then Sunday. And then following on from that, which wasn't a part of any gambling conspiracy, is that Kelly Oubre was pulled from the game with a shoulder issue after 12 minutes. Okay, is that him done as well? The confusing part of all of this is that Gordon Hayward played 31 minutes. And PJ Washington, two guys who have had a lot of injury problems. They just played through it. So I don't really know what happened there. But it's really hard to make a call. Like, what call do you make? Rozier is still two more games this week. Oubre is still two more games. No chance that they play them in my mind. But if you drop them and they do, then you've cost yourself. But this is very shifty. I think they're done. I honestly do, without any information. If I had information, I would tell you that I had information. I don't. But that is very strange to me. Again, my expectation is Mark Williams is done, so we keep rolling with Big Dick Nick, 9-14. We consider adding Svi Mihailuk, who played 30 minutes and had 15-2-1. Now, interestingly, James Booknight and the Salt Fleek, Theo Maladon, was in the G League. Do they push up and play 26 a night? I think they might. I think they'll, maybe not tomorrow because they're on the road again in Dallas. Not sure that they'll join them. But the G League's done. I think the G League is over in the next day or two. So they are going to play a role here down the stretch, I think. And the guy we would have loved to grab was Dennis Smith. But then during the third quarter, after he started after halftime, he had to run off the court. Maybe he was shitting himself. They said he wasn't returning due to an illness. He felt discomfort. He was definitely going to poo in his pants. And by definitely, I mean that's my assumption because it's funnier. All right, he had 8-2-4. Like, he'll be an awesome ad if he plays. I think he's got a chance of playing tomorrow, so I would be interested in adding him. Bryce McGowan's 8-1-6. He's going to get big opportunities. We got old mate, the God of Hammers, playing 27 minutes.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
9 points for JT Thor with 2 threes and 2 blocks. He is going to be in the mix because Washington and Hayward at some point are going to sit down. This, again, you do not play fantasy in this point of the season. We're going to be rolling out Mihailuk and Smith and Book Knight and Kai Jones and JT Thor. This is going to happen. Bryce McGowan's. This is going to happen. Whether it starts tomorrow or not, I don't know. So I don't even know what to analyze from this game. Yeah, I'd consider adding Smith, but I don't know if he plays. I'd consider adding Svi as well, but if Rozier and Oubre plays, he's useless. So it might be a waste. And it's really tough to make that call in fantasy playoffs. Again, my gut would tell me that Oubre and Rozier are done at least for this week and probably for the season is my guess. And then my expectation is Haywood does not play tomorrow on a back-to-back. Staggered if he does. But I don't know any of that. There's a lot of risk involved in making those decisions. For the Pelicans, Zion's still out. Alvarado's still out. Brandon Ingram, 30, 11, and 10. Big numbers for him. And how about this guy? Shithouse all season. And now, best bloke in the league.
Jonas Valanciunas.
34 minutes, 20 and 19, 63% shooting. I mean, cool. Is this end of season run going to get him overdrafted again next season? He cannot do this next to Zion. But he is absolutely rolling now for some reason. Trey Murphy, 19 points, 4 threes, 4 steals. Keep going with him. Herb Jones, maybe don't. They've got a good schedule next week. Really strong, low volume games. But what has Herb given? What's Herb given us? Nothing. 2-3-2 with a steal. He had been playing better than this, but this is bad. He's outside the top 200 over the last week. He's still outside the top 130 for the season. But I guess if you really want no turnovers, you can either add him or you can add Zion. Like, I don't think he's a must roster player. We got a nice little performance from Najee, 16-4-3, while Joshie Richardson played 20 minutes. We worried, was it going to be 17 or 25? 17 or 25, and they just went right, bang in the middle. And be useless while you're doing it. 3-5-3 for Richardson. Again, schedule streaming is probably the only value there. Well, Larry Nance just can't get on the court anymore because they're just saying, let JV cook. That's their new game plan. Let JV cook. See how it works out for him. All right. I'm not going to make it to the end of Thunder Clippers. We're three quarters in. So just have a quick look at what's going on over there. Midwest Dylan Brooks is shooting 1 of 11 for 9%. That's a very standard Lu Dort game. He did have two steals. He's playing a ton of minutes. There's not really a huge amount going on there with the Thunder. Pig Williams is playing pretty well. 23 minutes, 6-8 and 4-2 steals. That's encouraging. The good minutes there. We still don't really have an update on Shea in terms of whether he's playing tomorrow. Dagnott seemed to think that he would be pushing to play in that game, or he's more likely that he plays, but we don't have an update at this point. But otherwise, it's just the usual guys. Shea, the Bronco, Giddy, putting up their usual numbers and running a 12-man bench rotation, or 7-man bench rotation, 12-man rotation in general. Unfortunately, Isaiah Joe has stunk so far. No points, 14 minutes. He was an interesting stream with a 3-game in 4-night coming up. Hasn't worked out at all in this game, but again, value's in the volume. If you did add him, dropping him might not make sense here. For the Clippers, we wanted to see what they would do. They are starting Eric Gordon. They will continue to do that with Paul George out. Terrence Mann has played a little bit more, 15 minutes. I thought he's been pretty good. I still think Ty Lue is underplaying him by 20 minutes a night. 9-3-2 for Mann. I'm on the fence as to whether we keep holding him while Gordon had 8-3-2 on some poor shooting. So both guys could be fringe 12-team league guys, which is what I think I said initially, without any of them being absolute must rosters. Westbrook actually so far shooting the ball well, getting a ton of minutes here. 19 points in 25 minutes so far through three quarters. While we got the big stiffy, the five-minute man, Bones Highland, back to the rotation. 11 points in 13 minutes. That's something to watch. If Bones gets 20 minutes a night, he at least pushes into 14-team league discussion, but that will probably get wiped out when Storm and Norman Powell eventually returns. Not going to do the lines of the night for today's show. If anything wild happens, you can hit me up on Twitter with it. We can talk about that, and there'll be recap there over at Basketball Monster. So I do apologize for the abrupt ending to today's show, but don't forget to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the Odyssey app. On YouTube, you thumb it up, and you leave those comments down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.